We've been providing you coverage of what's happening during the legislative session out in Pierre, and joining us this morning is Republican Senator Ryan Maher. Ryan, how you doing this morning?
Good morning. Good. It's snowing up here.
Yeah. We've had a lot of that kind of stuff going on this winter. It's just, I don't know, to me it seemed like a very long winter.
It has. Especially up here when it started, October 3rd, it seemed like, when we got hit with that blizzard up here. So that kind of changed everybody's attitude right from the start. So.
Oh, absolutely. And the effect of that has got to be huge. No, you're out in Isabel. You're a lot closer to it than we are here. But I think people around the state really responded to, you know, to what happened out there and the impact on those who were, you know, raising livestock. It was huge.
Oh, it was. I think it was a real eye-opener at how this state comes together when there's a natural disaster like that, and everybody kind of pitches in. And I think we've seen that during the flooding in Pierre, and we've seen it now in this blizzard in October. And it just kind of goes to show that South Dakota, in time of need, will all pull together and then help each other and keep moving forward. So, I mean, the response to all that and the money that's been raised has just been unbelievable.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It says a lot about the quality of people in South Dakota. That's the upside of that story. Well, listen, thanks so much for joining us. It's nice to have you here. What things have you found yourself in the middle of this week out in Pierre?
Oh, goodness. I guess just a little bit of background for your listeners, because I'm kind of in the opposite end of the world as what they are. I'm up here in Isabel. I'm up here in Dewey County, and this is my eighth session, and so I'm term limited, so I'm just having fun this year. I can just sit back and throw a few bombs here and there, and I know a little bit of the procedure now, and know how to manipulate a few things and work our way through the whole session. So we're having fun, but I've serving this session. I've been serving on the Senate Education Committee. I've served on Commerce, Senate Commerce, and then also the State Affairs Committee. So we've had a busy Commerce and Education, of course, have been awfully busy.
Well, let's talk about education. Let me quickly, because I know just yesterday the issue of whether to fund more than the governor's proposed 3% came up. There were efforts to try to get 3.8%, and it doesn't look like, and that's failed.
I don't think we're going to see that this year. We've kind of been negotiating with this bank franchise tax, what they call the ATM, the alternative minimum tax. I don't foresee that going through this year. So that kind of puts the governor's budget off by about $10 million. So they're kind of trying to replace that revenue already. So the 3.8 is probably off the table. We're going to try and do everything we can to make sure that everybody gets their 3%, whether it's the Medicaid providers, the state employees, and then, of course, K-12 education. We're going to hold strong and make sure everybody gets their 3%. So 3.8, I don't know if we're going to be able to do that or not. It doesn't look like it right now. So
my understanding did I understand correctly from Representative Bernie Hunoff that there was some of the dollars that lawmakers had hoped to have, there was a hit, so not quite as much money to work with as originally thought.
Yep. The December sales that have been coming in have been a little bit slower. And then, of course, with this bank franchise taxes that we were kind of, I think at one time we were looking at almost 60 to 70 million, and some of that's changed. That report's now changed.
Senator Ryan Maher has been on the line with us. He is a Republican senator from Isabel, South Dakota. And thanks so much for staying with us, Senator. We appreciate it.
You bet, absolutely.
Okay, now as we were talking a little bit about education, but you were saying that things have also been busy for you in the Senate Commerce Committee.
Yep, we this past week we had what they call a direct wine shipping bill that we kind of have been toying with. It allows people living in South Dakota to have their wine shipped in from California. Currently, they can't do that. The wineries in California can't have any wine shipped in. And it's not only California wineries. It affects South Dakota wineries, too. We look at Prairie Berry came in from Hill City and testified and how they would like to see a direct wine shipment so they could ship to their customers in South Dakota to their doorstep and things like that. So it's been kind of a contentious issue, and we've been back and forth and around with it, and it still hasn't been resolved. We sent it down a committee the other day with a no recommendation, and then it got bounced to come to the floor, and the Senate sent it back to Commerce and said, make a decision on it. And so
what are some of the sticking points? What are some of the sticking points on that?
Well, some of it is dealing with, of course, the few people out there that are concerned that minors will be able to access wine, get a hold of mom and dad's credit card and have it shipped to their doorstep. But in the bill, it says that the ID has to be verified at the time of shipment, and it has to be verified at the time of delivery. So there's a little bit of protection there. And then, of course, some of our Main Street businesses are concerned that it will affect their revenue, that out-of-state wineries will be taking their line of business when people would walk into their store. They can just do it online or call a winery and have it shipped to the door instead of walking through the Main Street business store. That's, they claim that they're here paying property taxes and everything else. And I guess I take the view of it, I'm in the bar business. I own a bar, liquor store, restaurant combination up here. And what I've seen is people who been out traveling, they come in with an empty bottle of wine and say, hey, can you get this? And I say, I can sure try, you know. And so what it does is it kind of expands my market up here, so that way I don't have to have this dead inventory sitting around tying up money waiting for somebody to buy it. I know what they want. So I kind of look at it that from that standpoint. So wine, of all things, have been a hot issue this year. So
12 minutes past 8, it is mostly cloudy and 4. It feels like 8 below. Senator Ryan Maher of Isabel is on the line with us. I know one of the things that has come up in the legislature as well, and you're one of the sponsors of this act that would prohibit the use of red light cameras.
Yes, yeah, I've been working representative over there in Huron. I can't remember her name.
Peggy Gibson. Peggy Gibson,
yeah,
right?
Peggy Gibson, yep. Yes. Yes, this is an issue she brought forward, and I see that's coming over to the Senate. They got it out of the House the other day. It really doesn't make much difference to me, considering I have about 5 stoplights in all of northwestern South Dakota. So, I think that's why they kind of singled me out. Here, you carry this one. This doesn't really have any effect on you.
Well, is it? Here's one of the things that I've thought about it. I mean, is that? And should that be a local control issue? I mean, there have been a number of things that have come up in the legislature this session, from this to school start times, right. You know, as well as some other issues that really, sure. That at least in my opinion, should be local control issues. Why do you think the legislature should take a lead on this?
I you know, you bring up an excellent point, and we've seen that from, I think Senator Dan Lederman had a bill passing through with dogs, making sure we can't discriminate against dogs, and that passed off. So that's another local control issue, and so we see local control tossed around all the time, and I guess it's kind of at the will of the legislature, and I'm going to do my part and carry it for them. It really makes no difference. I'm kind of neutral on the issue, and I can be swayed either way, even though I'm the prime sponsor of the bill. But, you know, yeah, absolutely.
I may bend your ear.
Sure. you can do some lobbying right now.
we had Representative Bernie Hunhoff joined us the other day on the program, and we were talking about the issue of local control. And mm-hmm. and he made a statement that honestly I thought was very profound, because usually Republicans are the ones that are held up as the supporters and the flag bearers, you know, of local control. And Bernie Hunhoff said, local control really is not a Republican or a Democrat ideal. It's an American ideal, that government is best when it's closest to the people.
The people, yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yet we see the legislature bristles every time the federal government comes with any kind of a mandate. And then, but yet then we see the legislature turn around and do the same thing to local communities.
It's almost that inherent nature of government. I have the authority, so I'm going to exercise my muscles. So absolutely, you see that downward pressure from Washington. You see it at the state level going to the municipalities and to the county commissioners, and then the county commissioners even more. So, you know, that issue. So, yeah, it's just absolutely downward pressure from every direction. So, and that's the unique nature of what we live in and the realm we deal with every day, and
It isn't easy serving. I know that. It's 15 minutes past 8, mostly cloudy and 4. It feels like 8 below. Anything in particular you have coming up once the legislature reconvenes next week? What will be happening for you?
You know, we had a really excellent committee hearing yesterday in Senate Education dealing with all the Common Core stuff. And there's a bill up in Senate Ed, and it was essentially repealing the Common Core standards, and then it doesn't really outline what we'd go back to. It just says we'd go back to the old standards, which is essentially the No Child Left Behind standards and getting away from Common Core. I mean, we went around and around for almost 2.5 hours yesterday on that, and Monday, or when we get back on Tuesday, we'll have to vote on that. And I don't know if that bill is going to make it out of committee or not, but it was really interesting to listen to that committee testimony.
What are your feelings on it?
You know, I'm of the feelings right now that we don't really have anything in place, and the time and 3 years have been spent implementing Common Core, but it's one of those things we have got to monitor, in my opinion, and not let it get out of control and make sure it's doing what it's supposed to be doing. And we had an individual there from SDSU yesterday, a professor, and I pulled him to the stand and I asked him, I said, would we know how these Common Core standards are working in 5 to 7 years, and would you be willing to come forward and tell us if they're not? And his response was, we would know in 2 years whether these Common Core standards are working, you know. And so I would kind of take my lead from the Board of Regents, because they're going to see firsthand in the remediation programs and the other programs they administer if Common Core is working or not. And then at that time, we had better be ready as a legislature to pounce and make sure that we do some corrective action and tweak those standards, or tweak something in the process there along the way that allows to make sure these kids are getting an adequate education, so that we're spending so much money on. So,
Republican Senator Ryan Maher has been our guest this morning. Ryan, thanks so much for taking so much time with us. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, and thanks for your time for letting me join you.
Oh, very glad to do it. It's appreciated. Senator Ryan Maher of Isabel.